Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow with just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Well, hello, and I was going to say happy hump night because this is your regular every Wednesday night host, Kim Justice, doing a special edition show tonight, and I just realized it's Monday. I'll also be back on Thanksgiving night. So after you've eaten all your turkey and you're ready to unbutton that top button and put your feet up, between now and then, if you make a list of 6 things, not very many, but 6 things that you're grateful for, we'll be talking about those and hopefully have a lot of those to share on Thanksgiving night. That starts, about 5 weeks of the holiday hustle and bustle. And the combination of the show after our guest tonight, which is on balance, how we balance the sad, depressive, isolating times against the joyful, wonderful, happy times of the holidays. And then Wednesday night, I have a marvelous guest on the traumatized brain, a doctor. And then Thursday, we'll compare our gratitude lists online, because then over the next 5 weeks, I figured that that would be a wonderful way to kick off the holiday season. Because if we have a blue moment, we will have heard on Thanksgiving night all kinds of people sharing what they're grateful for, and a little of that tonight, and maybe whatever has got us down won't seem so bad, and one of those things will ring a bell in our mind, and we'll be able to celebrate the joy and the reason for the season. I want to thank you all for being here tonight. I have some very special guests coming on in a moment, and first, I will say for those of you that are new around here, I'm going to go ahead and read you what my regular Wednesday show is about. It's called Recovery Now. Recovery Now is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. Guests share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. This is a we recovery program because it is in the we that we find the new me. We focus on the 4 A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers. The front portion of this show and my regular show is that we have a featured guest or guests, and the back portion of the show is open mic with some great indie music sure to inspire, much of which is done by folks who have suffered brain injury and or are veterans. So that's pretty cool. Again, I'm your host, Kim Justice, with regularly the Wednesday night show Recovery Now, and tonight a very special show on balance. But first, I want to bring on some really special guests. And this really meant a lot for me tonight to do this. I've been here 3.5 years, so let's say 4.5 years ago, something like that maybe. a mutual friend of ours who has since passed away mentioned to me something about I should attend her writer's group. And at that time, I was big into my photography, and I just kind of listened politely, and I wasn't really planning on going. But when Marty was her name, when she, I said to her, where is it anyway, just making conversation? And she told me. And as fate would have it, it was at a restaurant that I could almost throw a rock to their front door from the front door of my house. And so, believing that God has a lot of ways of putting messages out, I thought, well, it's so close to my house, I should poke my head in there and check it out. From there, I wound up getting in the habit of writing and meeting some great people. And Wendy, who's going to be one of the four people on in just a moment, I met at Writers Group. Writers Group, by the end of the year, I had started writing my book, a book which I had journaled 17 years before, kept saying, I'll get to it, I'll get to it, I'll do it someday, I'll think about it. But because Marty mentioned the Writers Group, and I went to the group, met great people like Wendy, read her things, had some great fellowship and great habits formed about writing, it led me to writing my book, which directly led me to Brain Injury Radio being a host for the last 3.5 years. So when I read something, I knew some things from Facebook, but I didn't know everything. And so when Wendy wrote an appeal, I believe last week, and I knew that I was going to be doing the show tonight. I believe the third Monday of each month, we're going to be having a new host. That'll be Greg Costa, and he'll be starting in December. But we wound up, wait a minute, this is the fourth Monday, isn't it? I'm sorry, I'm doing so many shows, I can't keep them together. But in any case, we're going to be having a new host who wasn't going to be able to start until next month. And so I'm kind of pinch hitting tonight. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful opportunity to have Wendy, her daughter Melissa, and Melissa's two sons, Tyler and Dylan, on tonight to talk about, well, what they're grateful for with Thanksgiving coming and a very special, kind of desperate need that they have. And I thought, around the spirit of giving, and I've seen some of the amazing things that Dylan and Tyler have done, I thought it would be a great way to open this show, which later on tonight will be about balance. I know that a lot of people have a hard time around the holidays with losses, money, attitude, feelings of isolation. Some kind of bad things can happen around the holidays. At the same time, it's a time where we should be looking up and focusing on the reason for the season, spreading joy, cheer, enjoying the holidays, taking that which is good and holding it close to our heart. And it all kicks off with Thanksgiving. And so when this night became available, I thought, wow, what a perfect night to appeal to people's sense of giving and also their attitude, if nothing else, going through the next several weeks as we're passing through the holidays. Because if there is, again, something keeping us down, some of the things that you'll hear tonight might make you think maybe things aren't as bad as you thought. I'm going to start with the people that have to go to bed earliest. And so I'm going to introduce you tonight to Tyler and Dylan. Dylan and Tyler, are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Well, hi, you guys. Okay, Dylan, how old are you?
I'm 12.
12, okay. And Tyler?
I am 10.
You are 10, okay. Can you tell us, well, tell me a couple of things. Can you tell me, you know Thanksgiving is coming up in a couple of days. Are you guys, do you guys have something that you're grateful for? Dylan, we can start with you.
I am grateful for all the teachers and parents at my school that take such good care of me and help me with my great education.
Super. How about you, Tyler?
I am thankful for everyone who takes care of me, like my mom, my grandma, Jason, Regine, and all my doctors.
Well, thank you so much. So do you guys like turkey? Are you looking forward to Thanksgiving?
Definitely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I know that you guys have to go to bed early, but I'm so glad that you could join us for a few minutes tonight just to tell us some of the things that you're thankful for before we go on and talk to your mom and your yaya for just a few minutes.
Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving, Dylan and Tyler. Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. Very, very
bye-bye.
Welcome.
And have a Merry Christmas, too.
You too.
Okay, I'm going to wait for their mom, Melissa, to come on the line, and I'm going to add Wendy. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my special guests that just stopped by. Wendy, Yaya, or Grandma to some of you, Nana in my case, is what she is to Dylan and Tyler. Her daughter, their mother, is Melissa. Both Dylan and Tyler have a terminal illness called Duchenne muscular dystrophy. With surgeries and proper medical care, they can be expected to live into their 20s. They are the 2015 Nebraska Muscular Dystrophy Ambassadors. Not too long ago, their house burned down in Colorado, and they returned to Omaha, where they're now both confined to wheelchairs. In the brutal climate that we have here in the Midwest, and on the way very soon, Melissa and the boys have a very critical need. I thought what I would do is introduce Melissa. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, and how about your mother? Wendy, are you there?
I'm here too.
Great. I'm so happy both of you guys could be here tonight, and I thank you for letting the boys stay up a little later than their curfew to be able to wish us all a happy Thanksgiving. It was a pleasure. I've seen them on Facebook, but never had the opportunity to meet you, Melissa, or the boys in person, and so it was thank you for having them on for just a few minutes.
Oh, not a problem. We were really thrilled to do it.
Tell us a little bit, if you would, the word, and I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, I think everyone has heard of muscular dystrophy, but not necessarily with, I called it Duchenne, like the school here in Omaha, but the proper way maybe to pronounce that. Just a little bit about that particular disease, and I alluded to the prognosis for the boys, but time-wise, and then what it is that you're in such desperate need for.
Okay, yeah, you are pronouncing it right. It's Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and Duchenne is one of the 43 muscular dystrophies that is diagnosed in early childhood. And most of the time, boys get the disease. Moms carry it, and boys get it. And it's the statistic is that 1 in 3,500 boys get the disease, and it is not hereditary in our family. It is considered a mutated gene in our family. So it just sporadically popped up, and what is crazy about it is that both Dylan and Tyler have it. So it's really a blessing in disguise, I guess, that both of them are having it to go through it together. They have somebody to lean on to go through it together. Dylan was diagnosed with it right before he turned 5, and then shortly thereafter, like about 2 weeks after Dylan was diagnosed, Tyler was diagnosed.
Oh my gosh. And I'm sorry, how old were they when they got
Dylan
the diagnosis?
Was, yeah, almost 5. And so then Tyler would have been 2.5, 3. The reason why we had Tyler tested is because, like I said, moms get it or carry it and boys get it. So we just had Tyler tested along with us and to see, you know, if he had it. And unfortunately, he did. So.
So it isn't, or is this considered to be congenital, even though you don't know immediately when a child is born that they're going to suffer from the effects of this condition?
Yeah, so once Dylan was, what Duchenne is that it's a leaking of protein into the bloodstream. So that's what causes the muscle not to grow correctly, I guess is how you would word it.
Okay, and so 5, Dylan was around 5, and Tyler 2 or 3?
2.5, yeah.
And what made you know that there was something wrong?
Dylan was showing signs of just core muscle weakness. He just couldn't do things like pedaling the wheels of a big wheel. He just couldn't get his legs around. So I literally would walk around with my hands over his feet, walking backwards with my hands on him to just get him used to the motion of what it feels like to get that over the hump of that pedal. He just really struggled with it. And then one of the other things I noticed is at swimming lessons that summer, the kids would line up on the edge of the pool and jump into the instructor. Well, Dylan was always the slowest to get there, so, you know, I knew that there was an issue there. He wasn't, like, first in line. And then instead of jumping off the side of the pool, he would just literally fall in. His feet both feet never left the ground at the same time. It was always one or the other. So that was really my huge indicators. And then he just wasn't doing things like his peers were. Like, he just really wasn't running as fast as them or just some of the things peers do at that age. He was having trouble with stairs and curbs. Like, he needed a hand to get down a curb. You know what? He would always search flat place to walk.
Yeah, I got you. Probably a little depth perception. I do a little of that myself. Okay, so at that point you took him in to be tested, and did they readily come up with this diagnosis?
Well, no, because what they do is they do a blood test. And basically what they're doing is they're finding out how much protein is leaking into the bloodstream, and it's called a CK test. And if you and I took that blood test, it would be about 200 or 300, and Dylan's test revealed that it was 20,000. And then what happens, they send that blood work
They sent our blood work to Baylor, Texas, to the university there to determine what type of muscular dystrophy we have. They took Dylan's blood work and my blood work, and then they want to determine where it started in the family line. So they wanted to make sure that my female cousin wasn't also a carrier so that we could help her through any, planned parenting, and if she was positive, we'd be able to help her with those decisions. So they tested my mom, and when they realized that she was not a carrier, then it stopped there. So we knew that it was with me, and it happened at my conception. So there was nothing, any test that they had then to determine that I was a carrier. And so then once we got Dylan tested and they said it would take 6 weeks, well, 2 weeks into it, I was a mess. And then I started educating myself on what Duchenne is and what the likelihood that Tyler would have it. So I just called the pediatrician and I said, I'm tired of waiting. I don't want to wait till Dylan's results come back. I want to test Tyler. So we took him over for his CK test, and his revealed that it was at 30,000. So we knew something was. And then what it ends up being is that we have exons that are missing. Our exons that are missing are 49 through 51. All three of us do not have those exons that you all have. And that's what determines
the DNA strand.
Right.
Okay.
That's what,
all right.
That we have Duchenne.
And so when they told you, you got the results back on both boys, and it must have been quite a shock. What did they tell you about the prognosis?
Well, when I first found out about that there could be a possibility that that's what it was, Dylan and I were going through strenuous exercises trying to strengthen his core. And after 6 months of, doing things like hanging from ropes and rolling up hills in blankets, to try to build that core, after 6 months of all that strenuous working out and I didn't see any evidence of him gaining any strength, the doctor who was helping us with that said, I'm going to go see my son's orthopedic specialist tonight. I'll ask him if he knows anything that might be going on. So I'm pretty sure she called me from the parking lot and said, you need to get over to the muscle clinic at Children's Hospital. And this is when we were in Denver, so they had a pretty extensive muscle clinic over there. And I thought we were just going to go over there just to learn new exercises or new strength training for Dylan. And, I left Tyler with his dad, and I took Dylan, and I said, we're just going to go figure out what's going on. So I didn't realize that they were going to start talking about wheelchairs and not being able to walk and losing muscle. And I was kind of in a fog. I just didn't even understand what they were saying. And the only thing that kept sticking out of my mind is that they were going to be in wheelchairs and that the average age was 12. And I said, well, what do we do from here? And he says, well, we're just going to take it one day at a time. And that has really, really, truly rang true ever since that doctor said that, one day at a time. With the progression of this disease, the boys will have a function and they'll gain independence, and then they'll lose it. And so it's this constant building of a plateau and going down and being on an even plateau for a little while and going down. And it's just truly building ourselves up one day at a time.
And
the prognosis is they might live into their 20s.
So, hopefully another decade plus.
hopefully.
And you were living in Colorado at that time, is that right?
That's right, yeah. My ex-husband's job took us out to Colorado.
And what happened about to get you back to Omaha?
Well, we had a house fire. And with the diagnosis of Dylan, you know, at the time, the diagnosis of just Dylan, then the diagnosis of Tyler, then the house fire, their dad just really couldn't handle it and went into a tailspin of depression. And, I said, well, we can't live like this. So I pulled myself up, put on my boots and pulled my bootstraps up and said, we got to move on. So my mom helped the three of us move to Omaha, and then we just pretty much kind of started over. And then with the help of my mom and her church, we've just really been able to stay strong and live that one day at a time.
Wendy, what were you thinking when you were finding out about the boy? As I know what kind of a person you are and that you were in touch with your grandboys and your daughter, what kind of thoughts were going through your mind when you found out?
Well, I was absolutely devastated, and I started thinking about, you know, my poor daughter would never see her son's drive a car or go to a dance or ever get married. She would never be a grandmother and experience all the joys that I've had with all my grandkids. And I was absolutely devastated. And like you said in the writers group that we belong to with Fine Lines, I just had to write and write and write, and I started writing poetry to as therapy, as healing, and that's what's helped me, but also just finding joy for these boys whenever I can. I've named myself the Joy Detective, and so I try to look for things for them to do that would enhance their lives while they're here and just try to help them through the time they have.
And right now, there is an immediate need. And just so people know, a lot of people from around here know that I always say on the beginning of my Wednesday show, from somewhere in Middle America, and it's Nebraska, and we have some pretty nasty cold winters with a lot of snow, and from about this time until sometimes April, the beginning of March, I'm getting ready to want to leave. I was born and raised here, and the cold is really just bone crunching.
Yes.
Brutal. Definitely brutal. And so what is the problem, as if there weren't enough, the breaking up of the family, the boy's situation, the fire? I think it's, I'm sorry about the breakup of your family. I'm glad that you're, Colorado's cold too. I'm glad you're back here with your mom. She's a very strong lady. And I've always admired Wendy, one of the reasons I wanted you guys to all come on tonight. But you've got a very pressing need right now. Do one of you want to, Wendy, why don't you tell me a little bit about this pressing need? And you can jump in there too if you want, Melissa, but go ahead and tell us.
Well, when they first moved back to Omaha, we knew that Dylan was going to be in a wheelchair sooner than later, and we needed a van. And our church family helped us with a fundraiser to get that van, and it was a passenger van, which is great, you know, for one wheelchair. And then as Dylan or as Tyler became wheelchair bound, and recently just he got in his wheelchair full time, and the wheelchairs weigh around 750 or 800 pounds total together. And so for 6 or 7 years, we've had this passenger van, and so much weight from the chairs and the wear and tear. We've had 4 mufflers put on, just 1 muffler last week. We've had repairs and tires and brakes and all kinds of work done in the shop. And that passenger van is no longer capable of carrying this much weight. And so we have found through Mobility Motoring here in town of a van that is more of a utility type van, a cargo van that would easily handle the 2 wheelchairs plus all the equipment they need to carry when the boys go to camp in Cozad every year. The van they have now won't handle everything, and the van we are looking at that would be very reliable and dependable can carry the Hoyer lift and the breathing machines and the suitcases and all the sleeping bags and all the medications and things they need. And the family can't even take a vacation because they can't fit everything in this van that they have. So the current van, or the van we're looking at, would be ideal for getting them around and about. And our biggest fear is breaking down on the side of the road or anywhere, and there would be no way a towing company could tow this van with the boys inside with their wheelchairs. So they would have to be let off somewhere, and we don't know how they would be rescued at all. So just having that uncomfortable feeling of them being at risk is overwhelming. And, you know, I would just like to see them travel and be transported safely. And like you say, if it's cold and they have car trouble, then that could be a real problem.
Well, and particularly because they have to ride tandem now, even
yes,
under the best circumstances, Dylan or Tyler have to wait outside while the other is riding in and then getting secured, and they
exactly
ride behind each other instead
right
of
and in the
next to each other. And then in the new van, they would both be able to come in and nobody would have to wait outside the way we get the raining ice and the snow. And
right,
so one boy wouldn't have to sit out and wait while the other in this inclement weather, even under the best of circumstances, worst of circumstances, is that the van can't be towed. We have a young single mom and 2 boys in a wheelchair, a lot of weight, and they couldn't be towed. So potentially a very dangerous and uncomfortable situation, and so much the family's gone through so much already. So the make-a-wish, I guess, for this holiday season will be that for the next hopefully decade plus, the boys are going to have a van that will be able to facilitate their needs, let them ride next to each other, not have to wait outside, whether it's the long yucky Nebraska winter or when we get into our storm season. And
mm-hmm,
so that was what I had read. And then Melissa, I'm sorry to interrupt you, I'll let you go back and say what you were going to say. So the need right now is a van, and they've located a van but are not in a position on their own to be able to purchase this van. So the reason that I had Wendy and Melissa and Dylan and Tyler on tonight is that if you're out there listening and you've been looking for a way that you can make a difference and you have a few dollars to spare, I have some information about a GoFundMe account, and also for somebody, anyone who doesn't feel comfortable with those GoFundMe accounts, I've never known there to be any trouble with them, but in the event you felt that way, a second option is a Wells Fargo bank account where it can be directly deposited by you into this bank account. And I'll let Wendy, or I'm sorry, not Wendy, but Melissa, were you going to say something before? I typed in the chat room the information so anybody in there is able to see everything, but I'm going to go ahead and say it out loud too.
What I was just going to add is, I think you touched on it, is that now in the current van we have is that the boys have to sit tandem, which means, you know, Tyler's right up behind the driver's seat right by me, but Dylan is clear in the back. And anytime Tyler and I are having a conversation and we try to include Dylan, but Dylan's always in the back going, what, what? So it would just be super great if they could sit up by me side by side. I think that's one of the things they're most excited about, is that they would be able to sit together instead of behind each other.
Yes, I think so too. Let me just go ahead, and we've got some comments in the chat room. A couple of different people in the chat room have asked me to send this information to them, and they'd like to post it all over. There's a lot of support pages on Facebook, and here on Brain Injury Radio, there are all kinds of brain injuries, from TBI to aneurysm like I have, and what I wound up buying, you know, writing my book about, and what wound me up on Brain Injury Radio. We've got shows on Parkinson's, stroke, AVM, ABI, TBI, you name it. And great, thank you. A couple of different people in the chat, like I said, want to be able to spread the word about this. So I'm going to say out loud, first, I'm going to tell you to go get a pencil. I'll also tell you while I am doing this, and you guys will have to forgive me for just 1 minute, because I'm going to go into here and type at the same time. Everybody get a pen who's out there who wants to write this down, and that'll give me just enough time to log into Facebook and give this information to one of the people asking. And I'm going to go ahead and put it, also, the Brain Injury Radio show page on Facebook. I'm going to put that on there right now, and you guys can maybe help from there. But for those of you who have a pencil now, who aren't able to, or who do want to write it down now, I'm going to give you two things. I'm going to give you the GoFundMe account, and then I'm going to tell you about Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo is huge. They're what, one of the last two standing, and so I think most of you have a Wells Fargo in your neck of the woods somewhere. I think you could call any Wells Fargo and tell them that you were looking to make a deposit into an Omaha, Nebraska Wells Fargo account. But let's start with GoFundMe. That's www.gofundme, that's GoFundMe.com/WHAFUW48. So again, GoFundMe.com/WHAFUW48. And I am just putting this onto the Brain Injury Radio page, along with a cute picture of Dylan and Tyler. This is also in my program notes, folks, so if you can find my program note, we'll have this up, and you can find it there. You can also find it on my In a Flash site. and we'll spread it around. Geez, I'm trying to see how to post this, Craig. I've got, publish. I'm sorry. I guess I can't multitask that well. Okay, now for those of you who want to do a direct deposit, a check could just be sent. What you would want to do, it's Wells Fargo in Omaha. The account has a name and a number. I'm going to give you both, but again, a Wells Fargo bank in Omaha, and you would want to deposit or transfer into this account. That way you're working directly with the bank. No chance anybody's going to get into that. And it's all one word, but it's both the boy's name and then the word van. So Dylan, DILLONTYLERVAN. Dylan Tyler Van is the name of the account. And then I'll give you an account number. The account number is 508-98-69753. Again, that's the Dylan Tyler Van, account number 508-98-69753. And so either one of those would be a wonderful way to help if you can see your way clear. Help pay it forward to someone else who has had their share of trouble, for sure. I just sent this. It's on the Brain Injury Radio Facebook page right now, and Craig's going to see that it makes it to some other places, as will I. I also have a video that I will put up tomorrow of the boys wishing us Happy Thanksgiving like they did in person. In fact, I'll find that video and send it over to Craig. I haven't had a chance to post it yet, but it's what smart, engaging young men they are. You ladies have done a great job, and they just seem to adore each other.
Oh yeah, they're inseparable.
Good brothers.
Yes,
well,
very.
I'm hoping, are you going to be singing at church this year, Wendy? Another thing, Gary got the opportunity, my husband got the opportunity to meet Wendy, because a few years back, she's very active in her church, and she has got the voice of an angel, just the most beautiful singing voice. And I was asking her when I was talking to her the other day, and I guess I kept talking for those of you that know me, so I didn't find out if she's singing this year, but she did tell me something, and that is that the boys also sing.
Yes.
Did you say that to
me? Well, I did, and I am also singing again in the cantata at Covenant, but I don't have a solo this year, but I think you came to hear me when I had a solo one year. But Dylan and Tyler are both singing in the cantata this year. They weren't able to last year because Dylan had a major surgery right before Thanksgiving. He had a spinal fusion, where they put the two titanium rods in his back so that he had scoliosis so bad, and he had this major surgery, and it took him forever to recover. But he wasn't able to be in it, but he's thrilled to be in it this year, and he loves to sing, and he auditioned for a choir at his school, at Buffett Middle School, and it's the elite Buffett Bravo choir, and lots of kids auditioned, and they only took 25 or 30, and Dylan made it. So, yes,
wow.
He loves to sing, and, yeah, he's just thrilled. It's one thing he can do from his wheelchair, and it gives him confidence, and it just it's one thing that brings him joy. So yes, people should come to the cantata first weekend of December at Covenant Presbyterian Church here in Omaha. So
great.
they could meet the boys in person.
Yeah, anybody listening, this show happens to go to all 50 states and 30-some countries, and we'd love to have you all fly in, for
yes,
sure.
Please do.
but those of you who are here in the surrounds, do come. It's a beautiful program, and I sent Craig the video that I was just sent of the boys, and kind of talking about what they're grateful for Thanksgiving. I think that would be a great message. Craig will be posting it around, and I'll be posting it around tomorrow. And again, I hope you'll see your way clear, even if it's not a lot of money. But, you know, I remember my old career was in sales, and I did it for 26 years, and I grew up with it around the family dinner table. And I remember a book called The Millionaire Next Door. And so you have all these visions in your head of Donald Trump and trust fund babies and all of that kind of stuff. But the truth is, the millionaire next door is one that lived meagerly and saved a little bit of money at a time. And, you know, with the beauty of compound interest and a little bit of time, that money actually added up. And so I know that a lot of people are on Social Security and it's holiday time and some struggles in Brain Injury Radio land. I also know that we have a wide demographic of people listening to this station. And so don't let it stop you if you, you know, don't think it's enough, or, you know, I don't have enough to bother, because every little bit adds up. And it can make the difference between Wendy and Melissa and Tyler and Dylan having a safe and more comfortable season than all of the things they've had to go through. And, you know, if Tyler and Dylan can find gratitude, things that they're grateful for, and be that articulate about it, happy about it, and have the capacity to love that they do, then that might bring us all up short when we have those moments of self-pity over the holiday season, which is not to say we don't all have those feelings, but the reminders of gratitude and the old saying about no matter how bad we think we have it, there's always someone who has even more of a struggle. I just thought it would be a great night to have you guys on. It's been a pleasure meeting you, Melissa, Wendy. Thank you so much for doing the little bit of network you were doing. I'm so glad that I saw it. You know, tomorrow I've been having some problems. Tomorrow I'm going to be having an EEG that I'm nervous about, and I really haven't been on Facebook very much, and it just happened that when I went on Facebook last week, your post was on the newsreel right in front of my face. And I knew I was going to be doing this sub show. And I've said many times before that the book I wrote, yeah, it was about my brain injury, but what it was really about was miracles, a series of things that happened. And I say that miracles are God's way of working anonymously, because in my case, there were so many of them that even a skeptic would have to shake their head and look up and go, what? You know, this is too many, you know, too many of these things to be a coincidence. And that was really what my story was about. And so when I hadn't been on Facebook, or very limited Facebook, I opened it up. I like to wish people happy birthday, at least try to get on there to do that. And your post was, boom, right in front of me on the newsreel. And I knew that I had this Monday, was pinch hitting this Monday for another host. That also was very, very fortunate, because my regular Wednesday show is booked into January with great guests, so I wouldn't have been able to rearrange. And I just think that
it's a God thing.
God's plan. Yeah, it's a God thing that this is the way we were supposed to do it. And just a few days before Thanksgiving, the time couldn't have been better. So again, I really appreciate both of you ladies coming on tonight and sharing Dylan and Tyler's story and your need, and also letting us have the honor of being able to get to listen to talk a little bit with Dylan and Tyler tonight.
Well, Kim, I'm very grateful that you had tonight, so thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Have a happy Thanksgiving, you guys.
You too, Kim. Take care.
You too. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, everybody, that was Wendy and Melissa, and I'm going to give you that information on air one more time. Then we will go away for 2 minutes. I'll give you a 2-minute break, and we'll come back and talk about balance. That information, again, one more time for those of you who are listening, is maybe you've gotten a pencil by now, www.gofundme.com, that's F-U-N-D, gofundme.com/WHAFUW48. If you're familiar with GoFundMe and you want to go that direction, certainly. Or if you're not big into that sort of thing, don't know a lot about it, don't feel comfortable with it, you can make a direct deposit to Wells Fargo. It would be Wells Fargo in Omaha, Nebraska. The account has both a name and a number. The name of the account, it's like all one word, but it's Dylan Tyler Van, D-I-L-L-O-N-T-Y-L-E-R-V-A-N. Dylan Tyler Van. The number on that account is 508-98-69753. And with that, one time I asked somebody what the difference between a dandelion and a flower was, because I thought dandelions were kind of pretty when I was young, and I would see flowers growing. And so I said, what's the difference between a weed and a flower? Because someone told me a dandelion was a weed. And the answer that came back to me from the dictionary is that a weed was a flower coming up in an unexpected or unplanned spot. This is Daniel Christian with Dandelion. It's a 2-minute song, and then we'll come back for the second part of the show. Be right back.
I am a dandelion, unwelcome in this field. A blemish on the landscape, not easily concealed. Dandelion, and I can only stand until I meet the tiller's wheel. I am a dandelion, planted in the dirt, and gardeners are known to burn the greens of little words. Dandelion, a nuisance ever soiled by the curse within the earth. Each of us has felt unwanted, drifting like a solitary seed. There are those who would pollute us, poison and uproot us, but to someone we are beautiful indeed. I am a dandelion, but not the weed you're thinking of. 'Cause I look like a flower when you see me from above. Dandelion, up to heaven, following the sun. And I look like a flower when you see me from above.
Yeah, Daniel Christian. Bet there's some of us out there that could relate to that song. You can find him at danielchristianmusic.com or on facebook.com/danielchristianmusic.